Thank you, team. Appreciate that. Appreciate your prayer at the end there, to Elaine. I was just thinking I was going to zip up here quick because I needed to pray. I don't know if you did, but I do. Just feel a weight. And just that we would surrender all and be what He's called us to be, me to be. I'm aware of how often I fail and whatever else. And yet God's bigger than that. He's leading us. He's not surprised by our fallen nature coming out still. He's bigger than that. And He's leading us and guiding us for His glory and His sake. And may He continue to do that. So, yeah, thank you for that. I too need to resurrender even as I walk up here to speak. I'm no more holy than anyone else. We are all level at the foot of the cross. And He calls us to live on purpose, not by accident. He's called us to certain things, and we have the privilege of walking in them out of who we are, not who we wish we were. I wish I attained a higher level in all sorts of areas of life. But I can walk with a confidence, a growing God confidence, that He is up to something. Our culture preaches a self-confidence that is over the top. And yes, we need to value ourselves. We're created in the image of God. But it's the value we get from God, and have a growing God confidence that it's not that I'm going to speak it just right or do this just right or serve Him just right or whatever else, but He's going to do something bigger and better and beyond what I can do on my own. Praise God, because that's who He is. I'll build my church, He says, not, here, you guys go build my church and I'm going to leave you. He says, no, I'll build my church. And yes, He gives us commands. We want to walk in those. Holiness is important. We've spoke about that in the past. We get to live on purpose. And I think He's calling us to some more of that here this morning. Me as well. So let's see what He has for us. We are Coaldale MB Church. And we are followers of Jesus, seeking to glorify God. It's not about us, not me getting my preferences, not bringing glory to myself. It's about us following Jesus, learning how to do that. How did Jesus walk? And learning how to walk in step with Him as followers of His, and seeking to bring glory to God. And we do this, we've said, we discerned this, I think, over several decades, actually, because I read so much history. We've come to similar conclusions in the past. But for such a time as this, we've discerned three things. We need to grow in our experience of God and invite others to experience that God, grow in their experience of God as He truly is. We need to engage, we get to engage in biblical community, walking with each other. We need each other more than we recognize. Even sitting here this morning, just wasn't in a place where I wanted to join in the singing. There's sometimes where I almost want to dance. I get the rhythm bouncing up and down on my heels. That's about as dancey as I get. But just listening to my son Zach sing beside me was real ministry to me this morning. And it's good. We need each other. And other people need to experience and witness biblical community, and we need to invite them into it. And we've said we need to be intentional about equipping for kingdom service. Now, this is a church mandate. This is us as the organization as well as the organism to equip for kingdom service. We have an individual response, right, to be teachable. I need to be taught by you and by others to be equipped. But as a congregation, we're saying we need to be more intentional to equip for kingdom service. And there's several things involved in equip. That's why we'll deal with it 2 weeks this time. We'll deal with it in an ongoing way. But equip for kingdom service is about serving. And we're going to have, if you can switch out of that and get the video ready, have a short video here. It's an unusual video for what I would usually use. But listen closely. And I'd like, if you have a reaction to it, I'd like to hear a little bit of that reaction after we watch it. But listen closely to what's said. in this video.
As Christians, we have been called to give generously to the people in our communities, and there are many ways we can do this. Luckily, none of them involve serving others. You see, serving others is a waste of time, because people are ungrateful and selfish, and they probably won't ever serve you back. So why serve them in the first place? Also, when you serve others, you are being their servant. Is that what you want? Do you think God wants you to go around and help people out and be their servant? That's ridiculous. We are Christians with the truth inside us and the power of God behind us. We shouldn't be lowly servants. The Bible says we are more than conquerors, so we should conquer people and make them serve us. After all, Christians are superior to the sinners of the world and should be treated accordingly. These have been Deep Thoughts from a Shallow Christian.
What's your response to that? Any response? Thinking? Feeling? Yeah?
I think it's ridiculous because we're supposed to serve others.
You think it's ridiculous because we're supposed to serve others. Good. You got one of the points of it. So you're saying it's the opposite message of what the Bible teaches, right? We are called to serve others. Is there other responses?
It's purposely not listening to Jesus.
It's purposely not listening to Jesus? Yeah, good. Jesus was the ultimate example of servanthood, was said. So we're followers of Jesus who came to not be served but to serve. It's an oxymoron if we're not serving, right? And yet you pulled some scripture in there, said some truths, but then kind of distorted it and twisted it, right? I'm not usually a proponent of sarcasm, but I thought it was helpful that to help us think it through, that there's an element of truth there, though, that I go into life and I'm unwilling to serve some people. And it just points out that that's a complete oxymoron. Who did Jesus meet that he was unwilling to serve? He taught a parable in response to the question, who is my neighbor? Like, love our neighbor. And then he brings in people in the parable that his listeners hated. Don't we actually live out some of the message we just heard, even though we go, what? That's ludicrous. That's backwards. Doesn't line up with our faith. And being equipped or equipping for kingdom service, serving is a given for the people of God. It's a given. It's a natural thing that we do. In fact, I'm going to take a risk this morning. I don't know why it feels like such a big risk this morning, but I want to do this anyways. To help illustrate this, so I'm going to ask some of you, yeah, again, audience participation. I would ask some of you to come forward. I need some help for this. Just I'll stipulate who in a minute. I need some help. Truth be known, I need a lot of help in an ongoing way every day, but today, here's something. So I'd like to invite forward, I'm thinking some people, and there's a specific reason for this, like 55 plus, if you could come forward. You don't have to speak in front of everybody. I'm not even going to ask you questions. You just got to work together as a small group. Excellent. Trying to encourage each other. I see the voluntolding going on. All right, hey, we got one brave guy. Surely some others will follow him. We're followers of Jesus. Good, yeah, men, women, any whoever will walk down here. got a task for you this morning to help illustrate the point. Excellent, good. Well, we got three. We could use a few more, but come on down anyways. I'll give you the task. It's actually written right here. Got, yeah. Going to put you to work. Hey, good. Got a few more. Yeah, 55 plus is a lot of people in this congregation.
We just don't like to admit
it. And they're admitting it, right? I'm only plenty nine. Very good. So your task, as we talk about equipping, there's a couple parts of equipping, I'll explain some of that later, but your mission is to build a bridge, okay? All of this has turned to acid, so now you can't walk out the door. You're stuck here. Can't get out of the church anymore. Neither can we, until you guys build the bridge. So from this point right here, right across the sanctuary, that's from this point here to that point here, you can't step out there anymore. But you can use this stuff. I've provided some equipment for you to build a bridge. And your whole group needs to make it out, obviously. And these are the pillars. So you can set these. These can't stay. They'll get eaten by the acid and then you fall in there and it's not very nice. But you can use these as pillars to rest this on. In fact, I'll even give you this line here as a gimme. So you can put the end of one of those parts on there. And you can put the... You guys can do it. I'm confident in this group here.
These are the pillars, so the wood can't touch the floor, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Wood can touch in between, but they got to be supported on the ends. Otherwise, when you walk on it, you're going for a drink. And it's acid, so it's not just water, even if you're good swimmers. So there's your task, your mission, should you choose to accept it. Now, actually, I need... Oh, she can walk on it on acid. Interesting. Oh, should you choose to accept it. I knew I shouldn't add that in there. Now, actually, I do need a bigger group. I need a real big group up here. I just thought I'd invite them forward in small groups. Oh, good, you're coming up. Good. So I'm going to invite some more people forward. I'm thinking some brave teens for this group. 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. We'll even push it up into the young 20s. Come on. It's a cool task you guys have to do up here. It's not near as hard as theirs. I gave them the hard one, by the way. Pardon? Sure, bring a friend. Unless they're kicking and screaming. Oh, look at brave people coming out of the pews. Yeah! Right on. See, because for this group, we have two missions. Our second mission... If you can read it, yeah, come on forward. You betcha. Right on, right on. This is good. And they're over there working hard. Yeah, you can use all your wood are the runners, and just those are your pillars. And so you guys need to build an airplane that can fly half the length of this sanctuary, and then you're going to fly it from the west to the east. For just to demonstrate that you succeeded. And here's your pile of stuff. So you can use anything in there. Build your airplane. And we'll keep going. I'll keep chatting while they're working on that. Looks like they're doing pretty good. So you guys can walk on the sticks. Once they're supported with your... Once they're supported, you can walk on them, by the way. You could walk out and set your next piece. Oh, she's got acid-proof shoes on as well. I shouldn't pick on them while they're working, hey? Well, they've been so graciously come forward. So serving is a given. These guys are serving. We'll get back to them in a couple minutes. But often, we get people to fill a position. Rather than realize serving is for our good... And so we need to ask, even in how we recruit people to serve, how is this serving going to grow you? Right? How is our serving going to grow God? Oh, now they're cheating. Can't rip your pillars. But that's creative, though. We'll let this one go. Sorry, I wasn't clear in the instructions. Non-rippable. I'm mean, aren't I? But you're doing a great job. See, serving and growing with God, experiencing God, engaging in biblical community, and certainly being equipped for kingdom service, it's about people and process. It's not about programs and policies. It's about people and process. Are we moving people toward God, toward each other, toward what God created for us, created us to be and to do? And to live that out, to walk in the works He's prepared in advance for us, as Ephesians says. So serving is a given. Now I want to introduce equip. Two pieces. There's two parts to equip. Now they're getting creative. I did say the papers where the... Cool. They're making good progress over here. There's at least two parts to equip.
Can we have part of your sermon?
No, thank you. But I have given you everything you need to succeed so everyone in your group can walk without doing the hop, skip, and jump over the acid. There's enough there that you can do it. But you just haven't seen all, you're not utilizing all of your resources yet. Because I called forward this group here to work on these two missions. And so part of equipping is providing. Let's say I gave them some tools. And it's preparing. If we can go to the next slide there. That's what we're going to deal with today. Just providing and preparing. Next week we'll look at restoring and repairing. Because equip has both those senses. I'm going to read this verse, then we'll get back to our teams. Our teams or whatever. This group up here working together collaboratively to try and tackle these things. And he gave the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes, almost similar to James's passage earlier. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. Think about every joint with which it is equipped. Every joint. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Look out! He didn't even see that coming. Okay. Come on back down, you guys, because you need to get your whole team out here. I'm not sure they can jump that span. Oh, he's walking in the acid. He's just retrieving the plane. You're going to come back somehow. Yeah. Now, I said I was calling forward a group, and I did call a group forward. I called them forward in two pieces, but it's still a group. Now saying that, what would you do differently? If you're a group, like, could you guys succeed in throwing that, flying the plane half the length of the sanctuary? Yes, it would definitely went over half. Leo's way back there and he got dung right in the forehead. But what's the end of your instructions say? You're going to fly it what direction?
West to east.
From west to east. Did it fly half the length of the sanctuary going from west to east? This is east. That's west. It's got to go from west. How can you do that from west to east? Exactly. You got to go across the bridge first. What else do you guys need to be able to walk across your bridge that maybe these guys have over here? Yeah, exactly. We didn't walk over here and look. But they have some more pillars sitting here and they're not even being used. So grab those pillars, walk over there, help them bridge, but you better bring one of your planes so you can fly it. And when we're equipping, sometimes God has provided what we need. This is about providing. He does provide. But we're focused on what's right in front of us, not looking at the whole body, and we need each other. We need what He gives that person over here, this group over there, and we need them. So now can you build a bridge?
Yeah.
You can utilize those pillars. Some of the wood might not even touch it, but you can step on a pillar, and you can use the stringers, runners, whatever those things are called. I keep forgetting. No? You'll need to cross the bridge first to fly it from west to east. Now we can cross, and your whole team... Now, yeah, sure, fly it forward. Give her. Yes. It's good, and it blew apart right in front of... Yeah, that's good. Would you thank everyone that was brave enough to come up here this morning? You guys can walk out on that. I can pick up the residue later if you like. But often in the body, we're thinking about, here's the gifts that I have, and we're doing it some really hard way, not realizing we need to hear from the teens in our church, or we need to have the seniors in our church play a role in this thing that He's calling us to be and to do. And He's equipped us. He's provided all that we need. Do you believe that this morning? That what Jesus calls Coaldale MB Church to do in 2017, He will bring the people and the resources that we can actually carry that out. He will provide what we need. I got an incredible story of providing. When we were living down in Leamington, we used to go to church with this couple. We spied them out and said, hey, would you marriage mentor us? And we met once a month that they could speak into our lives. Phenomenal in all sorts of ways. One of the stories he told, he used to manage the Heinz ketchup factory. It's not Heinz anymore. It's French's, but bought out. French's. Now, but when it was Heinz, he managed a significant portion of that plant down there. All sorts of workers down there. One of his workers, it seemed like he was really not motivated. He'd come and do kind of the minimum and whatever else. Well, they hadn't had regular evaluations, job evaluations. So he calls this guy in. Now, a lot of people, job evaluations, that's when I get told everyone I'm doing this wrong and this wrong and this wrong, and I come out walking like this, right, wanting to quit. And we are implementing evaluations in our congregation. Darren and I go through them annually. We want to move to all the rest of the staff. We want to move to ministry leaders. Evaluations are an incredible thing. It's a time to dialogue in one intentional way. This should be really encouraging. And this wise manager, he says to him, what's one thing that would really help you do your job? And he says, a cordless drill. And that manager goes out and gets him a cordless drill. And it just completely changed this guy's attitude about work. Anything that was asked, this person over there in that department, hey, can you fix this? He's just on fire to get fixing things. He was made to fix things. Like, that's how God knit him together. But it gave him a new, renewed energy. And it's a few dollar cordless drill. Like, it wasn't a big investment for this company. But he actually heard from his employee. He hadn't been asked for years, what would help you do your job? And it became very encouraging, and it just unleashed him. Well, God's provided some things for us. Sometimes we're not even asking. Maybe we don't even have the faith. God, could I have this? We're not asking, but He is providing. He is providing. I provided these groups here, but it was all one group. And we're not actually looking at all of our resources, right? This team here was creative enough, they probably could have put a weight on a wing so that it flew partway that way and maybe could get it to turn around and fly back, and maybe they could have succeeded in having the plane fly from the west to the east if they worked on it long enough. But how much easier to walk over here, work together, walk across the bridge and throw it from the back. Sometimes in church we're doing things way, way the hard way for some reason. But He's given apostles and prophets, evangelists, shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. And He's provided what we need. We're just maybe not seeing everything that He's provided. The second part of this is not only provides, but He prepares. 2 Timothy 2:2, we dealt with this summer a little bit. Then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Starts with an act of grace. He gives us good things that we don't deserve. and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men that you will be able to teach others also. We, for some reason, especially in the church, but other things, we don't prepare each other for the work that they could do or would do. Again, I heard just an incredible story. I got to dedicate my nephew's son this past weekend, so we were up east of Three Hills, got to speak there. But we were visiting up people in the old stomping ground, Three Hills and Linden area. And we were having a visit, and this one music leader, loved him dearly, his daughter was equipped, was prepared when she was 15 years old. Somebody recognized a musical ability, singing ability, leadership ability in her life, and didn't just come along and say, hey, can you fill this position? Go do that. Actually took them under her wing, prepared her, taught her chording, because she could play lots of things, but taught her chording, and how to lead music from the piano so she could play and lead from there. Somebody's probably done that for Elaine, or maybe she had to figure it out on her own. But often, we let people figure things out on their own. What if we actually started preparing people? Now, this woman is in her 20s, having started leading music at youth at age 15 from the piano, then leading in church from the piano, leading the whole team. Now, she's looked across the congregation she's in now and went, here's some ability, similar abilities I see in this person, coming alongside them, equipping, empowering someone else. That is the life of discipleship. Jesus says, come and follow me. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So as we learn something about following Christ, serving, then we need to do it. We need to have more of an attitude of apprenticing and apprentices. What if we did this with all of our Sunday school classes? What if every teacher, or as many as possible, had a learner, an apprentice in the class, where we walk through them, I'll do, you watch, right? That's the apprenticeship model. Then you debrief it. Then we do together, and depending who it is you're walking with, how long that journey is. You might give them, here, you do this part of the class, and I'll do the rest. And the next time they get a bigger piece, and you get less. And it grows until you do, and I'll watch, and we see what we learn from that, until they're doing on their own, and then they take someone else. What if we did this? Coffee. I'm not thinking of serving coffee back there, but it would work with that ministry as well. Someone who doesn't know how to do it, but has the gifts, the abilities to do it. Hey, I'll show you how. I'll walk you through it, and then they can do it. But I'm thinking of more going for coffee, because we need to do this. How do we disciple people? Who are you discipling, and who are you being discipled by? We need to be equipped in that. And some of you coffee really well. You are discipling people over coffee. And some of us younger guys are trying to figure it out on our own. Hey, come on along. Join me on this coffee. And again, I'll do, you watch. We do together. We debrief. Until you do and I watch and I unleash you to again train someone else. What about tech? It's happening this morning. Cool, eh? Yeah, we've got somebody trained on tech who's helping someone on tech for their first time. We do it, we dabble in it a little bit, but we need to ramp this up. We need to equip for serving in the kingdom. What if we did this with visitation? Some of you are incredible visitors. And I know often, well, I don't like doing it in front of others and changes the dynamic and whatever else. But we need much more of a sense of apprenticing people and training them in it, helping them grow in this, that back and forth dialogue we do together. What if we do this with evangelism? We've got to have a few evangelists in this congregation and some budding evangelists, but how do we live that out? Well, we've got to watch someone else do it. Most of us need a way before we find our way. You know, and this isn't rocket science. This has been figured out before. They do this particularly well in the medical field. Where recently I was talking to someone who got to witness, I don't know how that came about, I didn't get that part of the story, but he's watching a group of surgeons do the surgery. Got invited into that process for some reason. But it's the intern doing the surgery. But several experienced people are there, and they're asking questions like, why did you do it that way? What did you consider other than that? And walking with them in an encouraging, empowering way so that it's well thought through. And this young guy's succeeding at surgery. Obviously, he's the you come and I watch, it already happened. Now it's to the point where you do and I watch, where the mentor is watching the mentee or coachee in the process. We need much more of that. And like I said earlier, many of us go, yeah, but I hardly even have the courage to do it myself. And I feel, you know, I can hardly teach Sunday school and I feel insecure about it. To invite somebody in, chances are you'll find this incredibly encouraging as well, because you're doing better than you know. And God's working through you more. And it makes us more intentional. Remember, this is the Living on Purpose series. It helps us be purposeful if we're training someone else. And then we're becoming learners in the process as well, and we're lifelong learners. So every area of life, it's way easier to describe in the Sunday school class, isn't it? But how do you live, follow Jesus in your work? And are we inviting someone into that process as a disciple, as a learner, this apprentice kind of thinking? To equip for kingdom service, serving is a granted. And we need to ask more, how is serving you? It's not just getting somebody to fill a position, but it's about people and process, not programs and policies. Programs are a means to an end, and we put policies in place so that ministry leaders are free to do what they're supposed to do. Those are necessary pieces. But we exist to help people move towards God and one another. And what kind of journey? That's what process is. It's a journey and a process. We rarely engage in the process for some reason. Bling, we'll put you in there and hope you succeed and won't connect with you anymore. We just leave them to struggle endlessly. And it's not a godly way of growing the church or following Jesus or making disciples. 2 Timothy 2:2, you then, my children. Who's the learners? We all are. None of us have arrived somewhere. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, what Jesus passed on, and trust to faithful others who will be able to teach others also. This is the process that Jesus outlines. This is growing and equipping people. We need to walk together. It's about people on process. And equipping, yes, is about providing for them. What do you need to do this job well? As well as preparing them. So who around you do you see incredible potential in? Wow, I see you're gifted in this area. Maybe your whole role is to come alongside and encourage. But some of us have been serving for years and we've never equipped someone else. We just did the service and then we step out of the service, hope somebody fills the vacuum. We've never equipped somebody, and I have a strong sense God is calling every single one of us to be equippers. That's what we're committing to as a congregation, to equip for the kingdom service and to be involved in that kind of process. So who's equipping? Who are you being apprenticed by? And who are you apprenticing in whatever area of life? Most ministry should happen outside the church, but we need to ramp it up inside as well. Our programs are means to an end, and we don't want to slough on those either. Would you watch this video? Got a closing video before our closing song. Watch this video. I think it was written and done from the singular perspective. It says you in there. But what if this you is also plural?